All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Election Day, Tuesday, April 4th. Coming up this hour, well, the polls have just opened across Wisconsin, and so we're going to spend this hour trying to do our part to motivate voters to get out there, to not just become possible voters, but to become actual voters. And to do that, we have two very special guests this hour. At half past the hour, we will visit with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. But right now, let's jump into things with our friend Sarah Godlewski, Wisconsin's new Secretary of State. She served as state treasurer, you'll recall. She ran for U.S. Senate. She set up Women Win Wisconsin to help candidates, but perhaps most important of all, Sarah has been part of this radio program for the express purpose of lifting the voices, the profiles, and the accomplishments of women at the local level all across Wisconsin, giving them some well-deserved time in the spotlight. And I don't want to put her in a spot here on live radio, but I wouldn't be surprised if she continued to play a role in increasing civic involvement and community leadership all across the state of Wisconsin. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, welcome.
Well, thanks, Pat. It's a great place to be when polls just opened at 7 o'clock this morning. So
it's all we can do to tell people, look, when you're heading for, you know, if you're heading down to the post office or to pick up some groceries, and if it wasn't in your plans, put it in your plans. You can do that. You can fit it in there.
It doesn't take that much time. I mean, it's, you go to the poll plate, you give them your ID and you vote. And we know that we're only winning these elections by probably 1-2 votes per precinct, potentially. So you could be that difference today.
And we have talked about, you know, past state Supreme Court races that were very competitive, and also ones that had kind of surprising outcomes because people, again, got complacent near the end. And so people should be looking at places like myvote.wi.gov, find out where your polling place is, find out what's on the ballot. And if you want to find out what else is on the ballot, I wrote a story over at upnorthnewswi.com that talks about some of the other races that we'll get into as well. But first, Madam Secretary, is that a one-time thing? We can go back to Sarah after that.
Oh, we can always go to Sarah.
Okay.
All right. I prefer Sarah. It's great.
We got the formalities out of the way. But we've established that the polls are open, but also that there are some important races and important stakes at play. And, you know, you have spent the past month plus helping organize rallies for our rights. Mm-hmm. Talk about what the past few weeks have been like and what kind of a response you've been getting.
Well, we've put thousands of miles on my car since really the beginning of February. But these rallies have been not just in Madison and Milwaukee. They've been in Eau Claire and La Crosse and Appleton and Green Bay. And what I found so encouraging, Pat, is that originally when we told people we were doing these rallies outside of Madison and Milwaukee, folks were like, you know, they're not going to show up, Sarah. This is a spring election. And it's about the Supreme Court. And yeah, we know that this election is particularly critical when it comes to protecting our rights, whether that's access to reproductive rights, to water rights, to even our voting rights. They're like, you know, it's just, we're not going to have good engagement. But it's been actually the exact opposite. Whether it's in Eau Claire, where we've had over 200 people, and it's new folks that are getting involved, young folks that are getting involved. And so it's just been so, so encouraging. And I'm not trying to jinx anything today, Pat, but I feel pretty optimistic just based on kind of what I've been seeing as I've been traveling the state.
Well, and it's well-founded because, as we established, these are likely to be very close elections. And so, I mean, whether it's 200 people at a rally or bringing two neighbors along with you to the polls today, every one of these things makes a difference when you have a level of involvement in Wisconsin the way that we do.
Yeah, and I think that's what has been, like, the young people part in particular. I mean, these are oftentimes first-time voters or first-time activists. And when I ask them, why are you here today? And they're like, this isn't the Wisconsin that I want for my future. And I know that I can change that with this election on April 4th. And so I think that has been something that has been incredibly inspiring to even women who are sharing their stories for the first time about like the Dobbs decision and how that has affected their lives. One woman in Western Wisconsin was sharing how just a few days after the Dobbs decision, she needed a late term abortion because she was going septic, and she's sitting on the hospital bed scrolling on her phone, Pat, trying to figure out what she should do and if they should drive her to Minneapolis. And so these aren't just like hyperbole stories. These are real life, and they're impacting family members, friends. And we know that one of the ways that we can change that is by making sure our Supreme Court majority goes 4 liberal justices and 3 conservatives. So it's been, it's been a whirlwind this past month in these rallies, but the energy and excitement is exactly what we need going into today.
That's great to hear. And we're going to take a break and then get an update on the weather forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky. And then when Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski comes back, we're going to talk a bit about the new gig. We're going to talk about protecting these offices, Secretary of State and her former post, State Treasurer, from, shall we say, GOP shenanigans. And then we'll close on a note of staying involved even after this election is past us. So again, we're here with Wisconsin's new Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, and we will be back with the conversation with her in just a little bit here on Up North News Radio for an election day, Tuesday. Get out and vote. I mean, listen to the rest of this conversation, but then get out and vote. We'll be right back.
Vote.
Our favorite glass ceiling breakers, Sarah Godlewski, will be back with us in just a couple of minutes here. But first, of course, we're at 7:15, where we check in with Jennifer Vachitsky, our meteorologist from Weatherology, and find out more about the election day forecast. You have heard me constantly say, we never know what the weather's going to be like. Don't let weather be an excuse not to vote. Vote absentee, vote early if you can. But if you do wait until Tuesday, make a plan and plan it around the weather. And that's where we bring in Jennifer to tell us what Election Day weather looks like around Wisconsin. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting day for the entire state here for today. We're looking at a risk for severe weather for essentially the entire state, except for the extreme northwestern portions around Iron River. Chance for showers and thunderstorms for most, possibly mixing with some areas of sleet in the afternoon around Amory. Amory and Baldwin looking at a marginal risk for severe weather today. Wausau looks to be on the cusp between a marginal and a slight risk. A slight risk for Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, and Richland Center. Milwaukee right on the slight to an enhanced risk line, so looking at a little bit higher river risk farther to the south of the state. And an enhanced risk for severe weather for Waukesha to Madison. The main threats today look to be large hail and damaging winds. However, we can't rule out a tornado chance as well, although those chances look to be more in the southwestern portions of the state. Temperatures below average today. Most of the state should be in the 50s or upper 40s, but everyone looks to be below where they should be today. Still a chance for showers and thunderstorms tonight with that risk for severe weather continuing. A chance for a quick warm front will push through the overnight hours. So we'll actually see temperatures in the overnight hours slowly rising, then falling throughout the day. Tomorrow, as that cold from behind it comes in for the afternoon hours, we'll have a chance for some showers and thunderstorms for most tomorrow as well, possibly mixing with some snow in the western portions of the state as temperatures get a little bit closer to freezing with those temperatures falling. Then a dry and sunny forecast for the second half of the work week ahead, mostly just slightly below or right around average for afternoon highs for most of the state Thursday into Friday.
And then after that, we start to badger you about the Easter weekend forecast. So we got through Election Day, and then there's always that next thing that we're picking on you for. But we'll be looking forward to that as a lot of folks do their traveling come this weekend.
Yep, absolutely. I'll be here for it.
All right, Jennifer. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
That again, Jennifer Vachitsky, meteorologist with Weatherology. Let's bring back Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. And let's talk for a bit, Sarah, about the new job. And, you know, because there were people like me who were, you know, not in Wisconsin at the time, saw the headlines and gave a collective, what? as Doug LaFollette announced his retirement after, you know, the better part of 50 years serving in that post. What can you take us through, you know, what the past couple of weeks, how you were approached? What was the setup that led to you fulfilling this new role?
I mean, it was, I'm still even now serving in this role for a few weeks in shock when people will come up to me and call me Secretary Godlewski. I'll look around and be like, wait, is there another Godlewski in the room?
What?
it's been a real whirlwind. But when the governor calls you into his office and talks about this important constitutional post and asks you to serve, you don't say no. And I was honored that Governor Evers even considered me, but it was a complete shock. I think if there would have been a video camera in that room when he asked me, you would have seen, it would have been like a cartoon, like my jaw like dropping to the floor, Pat. It's been a real honor. But I will also share, when I came home, I'm trying to think about how I'm going to share this with my husband, because I didn't say, can I ask my husband or confirm with him? I just was like, yes, I'll do this. And I come home. And
how did that go?
Yeah, well, he was like, so how's the governor? And are you serving on a task force or how are you helping out? And I'm like, no, you're looking at your new Secretary of State. And he said, no shit. So, and was shocked. But it's been an honor. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure, just like I did with the state treasurer's office, this office is going to be innovative, creative, and serve the people of Wisconsin.
Did you get a chance to have a conversation with former Secretary LaFollette on either side of taking this post?
So after I was asked to do this, I eventually called Secretary LaFollette, because it would be weird for me not to. He has been serving in this role for over 40 years. And so if there's somebody who knows the Secretary of State's office, it's definitely Doug LaFollette. And just, you know, talked a little bit about what the office is doing, some thoughts that he had. But I think for me, what I was really honored is when I told him that I was the one that was going to be filling this position, he said the governor made a good choice. And as a lifelong public servant, like Doug LaFollette has been, that meant a lot.
So he cited the lack of, you know, resources from the legislature. We know what Republicans in the legislature have done to his office over the years that he held that post. We also know that Republicans were hoping to really politicize that office if LaFollette had been defeated this past November, and were aware of how Republicans tried to abolish the state treasurer's office before you helped lead the campaign to save it and then win election to it and serve in that. So with all of that said, now that this change has happened, what expectations do you have for whether Republicans will continue to try to make mischief with one or both of these constitutional offices, or do you think that is a fever, a scheme that has broken?
We know that when Amy Loudenbeck was running for this office against Doug LaFollette, one of her big priorities was to make the Secretary of State a partisan in running elections. And from my perspective, we don't need to do that. The Wisconsin Election Commission is a bipartisan organization that has been running our elections freely and fairly with integrity for years. So why would we go up and change that? To me, that doesn't make any sense. And I don't think that's in the best interest of Wisconsin. But I do think that this office should be thinking creatively about its role when it comes to democracy. For example, we know these local clerks, whether they're your county clerk or your municipal clerk, have been under attack. And these are public servants. Some of them are not even paid. They're doing this because they believe in our right to vote. And so how can we be assisting them? Whether it is making sure that they are improving maybe transparency or publishing ballots. Another big issue is after the Supreme Court made drop boxes and just access to voting more and more difficult. We're one of the more difficult states when it comes to voting. How can we make it easier? Because everybody's voice in our state should be heard. So these are just a few things that we're starting to look at to help strengthen democracy and make sure that we are transparent and kind of integrity continues with our elections.
So in this role, you also have that thing that you brought to the treasurer's office, and that's a megaphone. That, you know, when you're in an office like this, you have this public face that can speak on behalf of government, of responsible government, of the things that government can get done. And it leads me to ask this as we look past today's election. You played a prominent role early on in our show, for which I'm extremely grateful, of highlighting how people can choose to get involved. Not everybody has to run for office. There's all kinds of other things that people can do. So how do people use their own personal megaphone? How do they stay involved after this? Because in my mind, the worst case scenario is everybody shuts down and says, well, I'll see you in November 2024 for the presidential election. When day-to-day life in Wisconsin needs more civic engagement, not less. What kinds of things will you be telling people once this election is past us?
Well, we know right after this election, it's 2024. And who and what's on the ballot in 2024? It's the presidency of the United States, and it's the U.S. Senate and reelecting Senator Tammy Baldwin. And so we need to make sure that our issues continue to be front and center. And these are issues, for example, like reproductive rights. And I know that, Pat, I keep hitting on these over and over again, but there's a few reasons why I keep sharing. One is we have seen, and like for the past 50 years, the reason we're here is that we didn't prioritize reproductive rights. And, you know, many times over the last 50 years, we could have codified this and made this the law of the land, but we didn't. And I think part of that is because we failed to prioritize it. And so we need people to continue to talk about it, writing letters to the editors, organizing. As I mentioned, we're seeing a lot of young people that are involved. Some of these were med students. They had never been civically involved before. And something that they talk to me is they're like, I want to be more civically involved because I'm sick of my profession being treated like a political football. And so for individuals that we need you to be involved, we need you to stay engaged. There's a lot of different ways through volunteering or using your voice, whether that's with your local county Democratic Party or different organizations that you're looking to get engaged in, like Planned Parenthood or Fair Wisconsin or HRC. But these are organizations that need us because, let's be candid, attacking the rights of any of us is attacking the rights of all of us. And so we need all of us to be engaged and working beyond this election today as we see 2024 in our near future.
Somehow I sense that even with your new responsibilities, you're still going to take time to travel around the state and provide that encouragement to people in terms of, like you said, volunteering or just getting more involved even at the local level. That we talk about state politics here a lot. I get that. But you have met no shortage of people who simply got involved in their community and played a role there.
Well, and that's where we're seeing whether they are running for local office, like school board, or, I mean, we need county clerks or local clerks, for example. We are facing a huge recruitment shortage and crisis kind of with our county clerks, our local clerks. But there are so many opportunities, whether you want to be a volunteer with this or step up and run yourself. We are not short of opportunities for civic engagement. And I will put myself out there, Pat, if anybody wants to talk about ways that they can get involved, I'm more than willing to do that because we want to make sure you find what works for you, but we have to be in this all together in order to be successful.
You do raise a point that hasn't been made here yet. And again, I don't want people groaning that we're getting too far down the line. I mentioned the 2024 presidential, but Tammy Baldwin will be up should she choose to run for re-election. I don't see any reason why she wouldn't. But that too is something that's going to come into play. Republicans are, you know, talking amongst themselves right now about who would be the strongest candidate. And while nobody's a big fan of, you know, 1 to 2 year long election campaigns. That's what we have in this country right now. And it would, I think it would do people well to pay attention to what Senator Baldwin has been doing for Wisconsin.
I mean, the work that Senator Baldwin has been doing is, I'm so grateful that she's in that role, whether it is kind of securing gay marriage and all the LGBTQ rights that she's been working on and passing, to getting money to Wisconsin and helping with manufacturing jobs, expanding broadband. I mean, a lot of the funds that we have been seeing coming into our state has been because Senator Baldwin is fighting for it.
She's got quite the resume. Sarah Godlewski, new Secretary of State, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me. Happy Election Day.
We'll be back with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes next. You're up.
Who can go the distance? We'll find out in the long run.
I had a sense that because former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes' new pack is called the Long Run Pack, he probably heard too much of the Eagles song. So we found a remake by the group Real Big Fish, and we'll talk more about that in a bit. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes here. Now, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. It's so nice to have you here, especially as the polls are opening and talking about the importance of this race and some of the others that we're going to review here in just a sec. And as I understand it, you have the sticker. I think you led by example in the most extreme way already today.
Hey, we already did it. Got it out of the way. Actually, before I went to vote, I went to Master Lock to get people when they were either coming out of third shift or going into first shift with UAW over there. So got to hang out and leaflet at the plant gates. And as soon as I got done with that, I headed over to my polling location, and I was number one. It's right in there at 6:59 a.m.
See, voter number one. Got it. Got it. Crossed it off the list, got the sticker, and now you've earned the right for the next 12 and a half hours to tell people why they should be, you know, voter number whatever in the area. And here's the way I've put it to other folks. So I'll put it to you as well. The old elevator pitch in just a handful of sentences, because the numbers show that, you know, roughly 2/3 of voters may not vote today. Why should they?
Well, I'll tell you, the issues that are going to be decided by the Supreme Court are going to impact 100% of people in this state. So if you feel as if, you know, this election doesn't matter to you, if you feel like Supreme Court races just aren't your thing, I got news for you. Because if you care about this state, if you care about having a more representative democracy, if you care about clean water, if you care about the rule of law, you'll show up and you'll vote. And if not for yourself, for somebody else, for the future of Wisconsin, especially when it comes down to issues like choice. You know, healthcare is on the ballot right now. Our environment is on the ballot right now. So many other issues, especially our democracy, is on the ballot. So we need folks to get up, vote like it's any other election, vote like it was last November, vote like it's a presidential election, because the implications are going to be felt for generations to come, not just in Wisconsin, but all across the entire country.
One of the things that I don't think gets talked about enough is that we've mentioned here and there that this election could determine the balance of the Supreme Court. But I don't think folks have said enough that conservatives have controlled the Supreme Court since 2008, when, you know, Michael Gableman ran one of the, you know, the trashiest campaigns ever and gave conservatives the majority, and they have held it ever since. And, you know, you have been active in politics during that window. I have been as well. In the last hour, I went through some of the things that this court has done. But from your own perspective, can you talk about the importance of progressives finally potentially controlling the state Supreme Court for the first time in 15 years? And is that, in fact, significant to the everyday lives of Wisconsinites?
Well, it's absolutely significant. It will determine the balance of power. We need a liberal majority. We've seen what happens when it comes to cases like redistricting or limiting the authority of the governor, or even when it comes to issues like protecting the right to be able to organize in a workplace. Now, if we have a Supreme Court that prioritizes and values justice and the rule of law, we'll be that much closer to having the will of the people being the law of the land. That is not the case right now. We're not being truly represented because of our unfair maps. And the legislature, or the legislature, the Republican-controlled gerrymandered legislature, has effectively used the Supreme Court as a partisan extension. And it is having a real-world impact on the lives of so many people. And we deserve so much more in Wisconsin. We deserve so much more than the representation we've been getting, given the fact that Republicans have not gotten over 51% of the vote in recent elections, but somehow have 64% of the seats in the state assembly. This is an incredible disadvantage. And I can tell you, if you're a working class person in this state, if you're a family farmer, if you are a woman in need of an abortion, or, you know, anybody in need of abortion for that matter, because people should be able to decide when to have families on their own without government intervention. If you care about your schools, if you care about much of anything, this race is going to, or this race should be high on your mind. If you haven't made a plan to vote, guess what? You still got over 12 hours to get out there and get it done. If you're at work, your employer legally has to give you time off to vote. And if you've already voted like me, you can spend a little more time getting somebody else to the polls and convincing other folks to vote.
Exactly. We're talking to former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And speaking of the gerrymandering and the legislature, there is a special election close to you in the 8th State Senate District in suburbs along the northern edge of Milwaukee, where Alberta Darling, a Republican, served for about three decades there, retired. The seat is open right now. And if Republicans hold on to that seat based on last November's results, they would have a two-thirds majority. So can you tell us a bit about the importance of the race from a supermajority standpoint, and at the same time also tell us, you know, your thoughts on the race and the, you know, the candidates who are in it?
Well, I can tell you this also speaks to, you know, my earlier point about gerrymandering and the need for fair maps. There is no way in the world, even Democrats should have a two-thirds majority of the state senate or the state assembly, because that's just not the way the state of Wisconsin is politically aligned or politically divided. Now, a two-thirds majority gives unprecedented powers to the state senate, to that majority in the state senate, impeachment power, override vetoes, you name it. And I've had a chance to serve with the Republican who is running. And I can tell you, when it came to issues regarding our schools, this is a person who's never been there to support our schools, a person who voted against, you know, protection for our environment, and a person who's going to be a staunch anti-abortion vote in the state Senate. Now, I've had a chance to meet Jody Habish Senekin a number of times. She is an incredible person. She's a business leader. She's a person who's prioritized our values, the values that we share. I mean, the values of protecting our democracy, values of protecting the planet, values of funding our public schools. This is the person who's going to go up there and stand up and fight. And she's running an incredible campaign. She's a great candidate. And she is reaching out to voters across the aisle, because that's what you have to do in that sort of in that district, the same way you do in a statewide campaign. But she's not compromising her values. What she's doing is building bridges. She's building inroads, talking about the things that actually matter. Because when I say our values, I'm not just saying them as Democrats or as progressives. I'm talking about our Wisconsin values, values of equity, equality, fairness, just generally moving this state forward. And that's why she's been getting an incredible response she has been getting, the level of support that she's been getting during this campaign. I'm hoping for great things for Jody Habish Senekin. So if you do live in the 8th Senate District, please make sure to get out to vote for her. If you have some time to knock on doors in that area, the doors you knock on will go a long way for that race and for the state Supreme Court race.
Her campaign leads to this point, and it's about people getting involved, making the choice to get involved and stay involved. And when this election is past us, the issues will still be real. There will still be a state budget to adopt, which is a living, breathing record of what a state's values and spending and taxing priorities are. You were somebody that was active before running for assembly and then for lieutenant governor. Jody Habish Senekin heard about this vacancy and stepped up to run. What is it that you tell people and continue to tell people about civic engagement, about getting off the couch to whatever degree and what kind of a difference they can make.
Well, I'll tell you, the civic engagement piece, I wouldn't be here today, would have never been a member of the state assembly or lieutenant governor if it weren't for my engagement prior to ever considering running for office. And not saying that everybody has to run for office. If you do want to run for office, great. We need amazing candidates up and down the ballot. But if you don't, there's still room for you to be involved, especially if you're one of the folks who's mad, who's frustrated, and who is upset. You talked about the likely turnout. Now, the reason, people don't show up to vote is because of deep frustrations that they have. And I can tell you, I had that deep frustration. And that's what compelled me to get off the sidelines, to show up, to get other people to show up. Because, I can sit around, be mad, be angry, but that doesn't change things. In fact, if I were to just have sat around, things could have potentially gotten much worse, if not for myself, for so many other people around me. So for the people who are, thinking about ways to get involved on top of voting, please show up, volunteer for candidates, find causes that are important to you, and show up. And for people who are still wondering or still thinking like, do I even want to show up in this election? I'm telling you, please get out there and show up. As somebody told me, they said when a person told them that they don't do politics, their response was, if you don't do politics, politics is going to do you. And that could not be more true. And the way we step up, the way we get involved, the way we combat, whether it's the big money interests, whether it is, whether it's the will of people in the state of Wisconsin that's constantly been disrespected, especially when it comes to universal background checks for firearm purchases, when it comes to finally expanding our Medicaid program, expanding Badger Care under the Affordable Care Act. We are one of 10 states who has yet to do that. Or whether it's protecting the right to choose. The fact is, if you are not satisfied with what your lawmakers are doing, that is all the more reason, because we need your voice. We need people to amplify these issues that have gone ignored by the Republican-controlled gerrymandered legislature. You have more power than you realize. Your voice is important. I think about groups who have stepped up, groups like Motherhood for Good, who I just cannot say enough good things about. We also have organizations on the ground right now, right here in Milwaukee, like Souls to the Polls, who's helping to get people to the ballot box who may need a ride, showing up, doing the engagement work that is not just during the election cycle, but the engagement work that's taking place when there is no election. Because, when you reach out to people at those points, not just asking them for a vote, you get a better sense of where things are. You get to talk about the issues that matter to them and the issues that matter to people around them. And it also just helps us to build more trust in the process. Right now, we have issues with civic health. Civic health has been in decline. People's lack of trust for government, people's lack of trust for institutions is constantly declining. It is waning. And the way we fix that is by educating our neighbors, educating our families, our friends, and our family members, our friends, and also strangers. So people can actually know what's going on and know what steps that they can take personally to start remedying some of these issues that have been of great concern to them.
Last thing we want to talk about is what you're up to now, since the Senate race, and staying involved yourself and staying engaged. And we're going to spend much more time on it at a later date. But do you want to give us a brief introduction as to, where your interests are taking you from here?
I can tell you there is only one option, and that is staying engaged, because the issues matter too much. And as I said in my speech the day after the election in November, I said that, this is bigger than me. And the issues that I have been fighting for so long aren't just going to go away with one election cycle. Whether I won or whether I lost is going to require us to all stay involved more than we ever have before. And that includes me. So I recently launched the Long Run. The Long Run's political action committee to help support diverse candidates in battleground races across the country. People are on the front lines fighting for our democracy, the people who don't often get the fair shot that they deserve in their candidacy, the people that don't always get the looks from, you know, a lot of power players that they deserve. We want to be able to help bridge that gap, using my own experience to be able to give them advice, give them technical support, and also help make connections and fighting some of these battleground races all across Wisconsin.
And boy, you can't do enough. I mean, the parties are good, some established groups are good, but anytime somebody a political veteran like yourself wants to get involved and help folks, that is just a net positive all around. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, thanks so much for helping us motivate voters today. Good luck with the long run. Look forward to visiting about that again sometime soon.
Of course. Looking forward to seeing you too.
All right. Take care. Have a great day. Thanks. And we will talk to Chad Holmes, wrap up our conversation here, and give you one more pitch for voting coming up after this. You're up north. Our special song for Chad Holmes, because we had to put up with Sarah Godlewski leading off this hour, Mandela Barnes, and then we saved the best for last. Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio afternoons on the weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. How are you?
Doing good. Big day, big day.
No doubt about that. Yeah, you know, and we haven't even talked about today, at least, all of the school board elections and all of the school referendums on ballots in dozens of districts across Wisconsin. And I dare say in Wausau, it's been school issues that have been most top of mind, you know, apart from the state Supreme Court race. But I mean, how would you describe the election day environment up in northern and central Wisconsin?
It's one of the interesting things about the local races and even state races, even the state Supreme Court. It's different because you don't have it where you got all this polling where you know what's going to happen. I'm really curious, number one, to see how many folks come out during this election, because, you know, as much as we talk about it, we talk about it every day, and you talk about it, and everybody on civic media talks about it, the expectation is if you're in the mid-30s in terms of voter turnout, that's high for this election historically. But with all the discussion, especially here in this community, about school consolidation and the issues on the school board, I'm very curious to see how many people come out to vote, number one, and what happens, because again, I think there's so much unknown during this election that we may not see even, you know, back in November for the last election.
I would be curious to see, and I guess I've never thought to look it up. And you know what? This election would be a great time to do it, is to get that spreadsheet of voter turnout, you know, by school district or by county, you know, and look at the places where there are school referendums or high profile school races versus the communities that, you know, don't have as much. They might have a judge who's up, or a town board or something like that. Around the state, you've got a mayor's race in Madison, in Green Bay, in Racine. I'm missing one. I want to say Middleton. There's some village board elections. There's a county executive race in Outagamie County. Some judgeships, one appeals court race. And so really there's no shortage of democracy in Wisconsin. You know, even around in your neck of the woods, there are going to be some of these local races and positions that people should be paying attention to. And I always worry, Chad, that I'm actually going to, you know, turn people off when I talk about that voter turnout, but I'm sorry, I'm going to say it again. Even if it's record turnout, if it hit 40%, I'd still say that is depressing in my mind, that we can do better here.
It's funny you say that, because I said the exact same thing yesterday.
I knew I liked you. Yeah.
But I mean, it really is. It blows your mind. I mean, we've talked so much about this. So many people have worked so hard about this. These candidates, whether from the state Supreme Court, as you said, to a circuit judge race or a school board race or a mayoral race. I mean, these people put in so many miles of, you know, knocking on doors and all this. And the idea that an election that does have the significance that this does, if I mean from what I've read, there is zero chance we're going to get 50%, which is crazy. It should be, it should easily be that, but it's not going to be that. So you're exactly right. It in the big picture, we still have a lot of work to do in this country, even nearly 250 years in, to get the participation that these issues deserve.
Well, it's where I'm gonna toot our horn here, a collective horn for Civic Media, for Up North News and Courier Newsroom, that these organizations, these media organizations, are starting up with the expressed intent to boost civic engagement. I made sure to ask both Sarah Godlewski and Mandela Barnes about that this morning. That after this election, it is just not enough to say, well, I'll see you in November of 2024. There are too many boards, task forces, causes, candidates, you name it, where, you know, you don't have to give 40 hours a week to it, but, you know, surely there is something out there where you feel like you can make your corner of the sandbox a little better.
Exactly right. And then when you complain that, well, I didn't know about this, and there's been more than a few people in this area that said, I didn't know about these schools. Well,
it won't be for lack of trying from us, you know.
but it's not even us. It's also, I mean, there is the information out there, and it has been put out. May not be as loud a bullhorn as you would like, but at the same time, there is a responsibility of the citizen as well. And it's real easy to point fingers and say, well, you know, so-and-so should have been doing this, or so-and-so should have been doing that. We all have a responsibility within this country. And when you see what's happening around the world as well, there's no guarantees. There are no guarantees that our continued freedom to have as much input in the decisions that are made at all levels of our government will be there in perpetuity.
That's the thing that I think I always feel like we're fighting is complacency, that, well, you know, this is how things will always be. And we've made it so easy to bash government that we lose sight of the things that we would miss if it went away, if it was all anarchy, and if we were dependent upon the kindness of billionaires for anything good to happen in our sphere. But let's make the transition to what else keeps you awfully busy, and that would be sports in central and northern Wisconsin, mostly at the high school level. Does it feel good to be out of some of the gyms and actually, I was going to say smelling the grass, but we're not at that point yet on the softball fields and places like that, are we?
Yeah, not as busy as I want to be. I haven't done any games yet in terms of our teams because of the weather. Hopefully, maybe this coming end of the week into the weekend, maybe, but I bounce around the walls a little bit if I don't, after about a week or so, hey, I needed a break after the winter. Mm-hmm. And then I start bouncing around the walls. And this past weekend when we got hit with all that snow, it's like, oh, geez. And I go out there yesterday, oh, geez, it's all this snow. So I need to get out there, as you said, smell the grass, feel the air on my skin, as opposed to being in a gym or in an ice rink for the last 5-6 months.
Are you sure you're not part farmer? You sound like somebody just itching to get out and do the spring planting already.
I think that is a perfect analogy about it, because I got to get out there and do it. But looking forward to tonight, though. I'm looking forward to that. And real quickly, if you have a moment, you talk about the appeals court race. That appeals, I've been assigned to follow this. You know, Gary Bell gave us our assignments in that District 1 Milwaukee County race between Brash and Geenan. Very interesting, because we talk all about the Supreme Court race. The appeals court actually gets more of a voice, because not all these decisions go to the state Supreme Court. And it's very interesting that Brash has Herb Kohl and Lewis Butler endorsing him, and he got all these far right Republicans working for him. I find this exceptionally interesting. I have some things to say tonight during our coverage.
I'll bet you will. Well, you should just be listening to your local civic media station for all of that and more. Chad, have a good time. Good luck tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thanks, Pat.
All right. You have a great day. All right. That's going to do it for us tomorrow. State Assembly Representative Ryan Clancy on a pilot program to provide no-cost legal representation for residents facing eviction or foreclosure, because sometimes there's more to the story than a simple eviction notice. Get out there and vote. Have a great Tuesday. We will see you for election results tomorrow.